Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising! And thank you all for joining us on this fifth Saturday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and I want to welcome all of you who are listening in live as well as those who will be listening in on the archives. This is a special day of celebration of life, and we are honoring the life of the lifelong friend of our Monday morning mindfulness host, Zelda Speaks, and she is attending the celebration of life for her dear friend, Deborah Smith. That celebration is going on now on her Facebook page, and for those who want to join in, they may go to Zelda Robinson on Facebook and join in that life celebration. I'll also be attending a homegoing celebration of a dear friend from high school, who we remember as one of Finger High School's basketball stars, Vita Sargent, helped take the team to the Girls City Championship. Those were some great days we remember. And one of the things that a life celebration does is to remind us of why we are here and the impact that we hope to have, why we are here. All of us are here for a purpose. All of us are here on purpose. There are no accidental births, and truth be told, there are no accidental deaths. If it's not your time yet to leave, a way will be made for you to return until you finish your work. That's an important point for parents who have lost children to understand, especially if they've lost them to some type of violence or accident. And many may be angry at God, feeling like they were done unfairly. But we have to know that our existence is not just this temporary time in this body. Our existence is eternal. Our existence was before we were, before the time that we have. The time that we have is the time that we chose to have on this earth. And if we are going to appreciate the lives that touch our lives, then we have to know that every life touches our life for a reason, just as we touch theirs. And we want to be able to give to every life our best. So today we want to give a glimpse of an upcoming 12-lesson class in parenting. It's called Parenting with Peace, and we'll be introducing it on our New Earth Homeschool Academy platform. The beginning of the year, we're launching this first class, and we want parents and potential parents and even grandparents to take this course, because we have the power, as we say at the beginning of every show, to change this world. And it starts with how we prepare the children coming through us. So we're going to talk about that today and give you an idea of some of the things to expect in this course. Every day we look at the world and shake our heads. And some people are thinking that, you know, there's some savior going to come out of the sky and kill all the bad people and rescue the good people. There are some people thinking, well, you know, God is going to wash away everything and start all over. Some people are thinking that spaceships are going to come and rescue all the good people and leave all the bad people behind, blow up the place. There are a lot of different theories. But truly, what we need to fix the problem that we created, we already have. We have everything we need. Everything is inside of us that we need to create the heaven that this earth was meant to be. But we have to find it. And it's been buried under centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries of mistreatment of each other. And when we can transform the thinking of the children that come into this world, they will transform the world. So this is the purpose of the Parenting with Peace class, because all of us are here as expressions of the loving energy of the creative force of the universe we call God. Everybody is here. There are no evil people. There are no people who are going to hell because they don't deserve love and they're hated by God. None of that exists. The only thing that exists is different levels of awareness of your divine nature and your connectedness to the One. So our task in sharing this course is to help all appreciate the beauty, the joy, the wonder that life is, and to know that we are here to enjoy life. We're here to bring joy to life. It's good when we have these life celebrations, because then We appreciate the person who has left. We appreciate what we learned from them. We appreciate the memories they gave us. And sometimes it's at a homegoing celebration where we truly learn the meaning of life. It's to have a positive impact during your time, to inspire, to enjoy, to create. And every happy memory that's created, we remember when that person transitions back to the physical realm from which we all came. We remember them. And the ways they touched our lives live with us forever. So we want to be conscious of our existence and our purpose. It's not just the people who are famous and widely known or the people who are wealthy and spent a lot of money that matter. Every life matters. Every life matters. Just like every cell in your body matters. So we want to help people see life differently. We want to help them understand differently so that they can create a different world. And our dear sisters, all of those who have shared their wisdom on this Female Solution platform will be a part of this journey of learning and relearning how to parent. How to parent without giving pain, because pain is what this world gives because of lack of love. When we remove the pain, then there will be only love left, only joy left, only peace left. We have to find what is already in the child and bring it out. That's what this course is all about. And so we're so excited because we know that we already have what we need to create the future we desire. And those coming through us are here for that task. And we want them to perform that task well. It's an exciting venture and one that has been in the making for a long time. And it is a life's work that has the capacity to transform every life it touches. Every parent, every adult that receives this information will have a transformative experience because the minds will be open to a new reality. After we talk a bit about the first and second chapters of the first and second lessons in the Parenting with Peace course, we're going to share with you a woman's testimony from Next Level Soul, the YouTube channel. Nancy Dannison explains what happened during her near-death experience. And we often are feeling that we don't know what happens when we leave here. But there have been enough people who have given account that there really is no doubt. And her experience is a beacon of light to help us in the process of parenting children who have come here for that purpose of being a light. And so we want to understand so that any misperceptions can be laid to rest, and we can be inspired with the realization that parenting is a great trust and a privilege, no matter how the child got here and what the circumstances are. And so if we understand what it means to raise a child to adulthood, it's more than just an amount of money that you spend. It's guiding the journey of a soul. Then we will do it with consciousness. So we're going to share with you, after this quick break, the introduction to Parenting with Peace. And then we'll tell you a bit about that first lesson, which is to help you in examining your preparedness to be a parent and to parent with peace. So we'll be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. Our break times might be a little bit different today, but we want you to stay with us.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Introduction to this course, Parenting with Peace. It kind of gives you a breakdown of what to expect so that you will know what you'll be learning in the process of preparing the souls coming through you or being raised by you, and what you can expect to learn on the New Earth Homeschool Academy platform. Welcome to Parenting with Peace. I'm Naima Latif. I'll be your instructor, along with my associates who will offer their insight on topics addressed in this course. Your decision to take this course, Parenting with Peace, is literally changing the world. The souls coming through you at this time, whether it be through you as the mother and father, the biological parents, or if they are to be raised by you as their foster parents, step-parents, or adoptive parents, or even grandparents. These souls are here on a very important mission. They are here to prepare for and create a new society, much different than the society we're living in today. And so they must be raised differently. They must be raised using love and not fear. Your job as their parent is to guide them through the earth experience so that they may evolve into the highest expression of themselves. This 12-lesson course will take you from preconception all the way to age 18, when your child is ready to begin their life journey independently. Lesson 1 is a time of self-evaluation. What is inside of you? You can only give what you have, what's been given to you. And some of the things given to us as children must not be repeated in this generation we are raising today. Lesson 2 is pre-conception. Every birth is on purpose. There are no accidental births. Every child makes a deliberate decision to come to this earth experience, and they choose their parents. Knowing this, every time you engage in that act of intimacy that opens the door to their entry to this earth experience must be a conscious act, because you are preparing yourself for their entry. Lesson 3, conception to birth. This period of time is critical in that the environment within the womb, within the body of the mother, as well as the environment of the household and the place in which the child will be raised, is being examined. And it is influencing the child during that time. And so we must be conscious of the environment we have created for their development. Lesson 4, birth to age 2. This period of time is shaping the subconscious mind, the subconscious memories of sights, sounds, smells, feelings, and they will know in this period of time whether or not the environment they are in is safe or unsafe. Can they learn to trust or distrust? This is what you are teaching during this time. Lesson 5, age
2 to 4. This is the period when the child is expressing their free will, using the language you have taught them, and taking the cues from their environment and the cultural expectations given to them. It's important to listen to them as they express their thoughts because you are learning who they are. Lesson 6, age 4 to 6. This is a time where their creativity and imagination explodes, and it's an opportunity to guide them in their special gifts, because this is what they came to give to the world. Lesson 7, age 6 to 8. In this time, they are learning the social environment and making ethical decisions, and it is critical for them to understand empathy and connection to their community, to their family, and to the world as they make assessments of situations and learn decision-making processes. Lesson 8, age 8 to 10. This is a time where they are learning how to navigate the social environment. And it's important to listen as you learn what they have absorbed and guide them in the proper way to assess what they're seeing and make determinations as to what is ethically correct. Lesson 9. Age 10 to 12. This is a time of preparation for that biological change that is soon to occur. And they must develop a healthy sexual identity and be prepared for the coming transformation of their bodies. Lesson 10. Age 12 to 14. This is the time of the transformation to the physical adulthood, and it happens earlier in female children than male children, so they must understand the dynamics of this change, and we must guide them through a healthy self-concept, so that they can be prepared for the responsibilities of adulthood. Lesson 11, age 14 to 16. This is a time when their drive toward finding a mate, having that coupling experience, becomes intensified. And we must guide them through the emotional process so that they understand and are equipped with healthy self-esteem and understanding of life and understanding of purpose. We must empower them with self-mastery. And lesson 12, age 16 to 18. These are the years in which they are ready to envision the adult they are becoming and have become. It is a time of empowerment as well as preparation for independence. This is not the end of their development, but it is the end of your responsibility in shaping them. They now must take what you have given them and become who they came to be. This is a great opportunity that we all are partaking in the shaping and guidance of these souls who have chosen us to be their parents. So now let's begin parenting with peace.
And that is the introduction. And we're going to take another quick break and come back and talk more about that first lesson. And then we're going to take a look at the second lesson, and then we'll bring you a near-death experience that explains life so that all of this makes sense and we can see life in its totality and we can appreciate our role in bringing forth a life that is going to participate in changing this world. So we will be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
And we are back. You are listening to The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and as we celebrate life, we're introducing an upcoming course that will change our world, and this is called Parenting with Peace. So now let's take a look at Lesson 1, What is Inside of You?
Now that we've heard the outline of the 12 lessons in Parenting with Peace, let's take a look at Lesson 1. What is inside of you? This is a critical self-examination because you can only give what you have and you can only share what you know. Throughout this course, we're sharing information from videos and conversations and all of our wonderful Female Solution family members who have been sharing wisdom with our audience over the years. We'll also share information from many of those who are featured in our 555 daily address, those voices of enlightenment that are promoted on the on-air website that gives us so much insight about spiritual matters and not necessarily religious matters. After we take a look at this first lesson, we're going to share with you one of those videos that we have recommended during our 555 moment. A woman who had a near-death experience and an extensive conversation with God about existence. This is critical for us to understand because the way we raise our children is going to be determined by what we believe about life itself. so much of what we must do is to undo the damage inside ourselves. We have all been wounded. We are living in a place of non-love. That's what the earth experience has been. We are coming from love, going into non-love, to experience what it feels like, and to therefore, at some point, choose to love. Choose to create with love and not fear. That's what is supposed to happen eventually. But we've been stuck on the wheel of karma, which is basically the cause and effect of our painful actions toward each other. And we can't get off because we keep teaching the same wrong things to our children. This is why parenting with peace must first begin with a thorough self-examination of all of the unhealed wounds inside of you, because you're going to give that pain to your child unless you become aware of it and erase it before you begin the parenting process. And for those who already have children and are taking this course, this will help you know some of the damage you may have already caused, and you can begin to repair it. It's a humbling experience, but a necessary experience. We have to be able to recognize that we are hurting people, and we have to be able to recognize that we're hurting them because we've been hurt. Our parents did the best they knew how. They taught us what they knew. They taught us what had been taught to them. They gave us what they had. They gave us what had been given to them. But this can no longer be the standard whereby we raise the next generation. We have to raise them with a higher standard of awareness so that they are empowered to create a different kind of world. All of these institutions around us are collapsing, and they're collapsing for a purpose, because the next step in Earth's evolution is that these institutions be rebuilt. They be rebuilt with the spirit of love, with the spirit of sharing, with the intention of service. And that can only happen when the people have something different on the inside of them. Not fearing that your neighbor is going to have more than you, not fearing that your neighbor is going to make you feel less than, so therefore you have to take from them. None of that must exist in the new earth that's being built by the souls that are coming through us at this time. This is the purpose of this parenting course, to prepare us to raise a different kind of child. So we're going to examine a lot of the wounds that we're still carrying based on erroneous beliefs and based on our pain that we inflict on others that has been inflicted on us. It's not a matter of having self-esteem. It's a matter of how we see ourselves and everyone else. As our near-death experiencer is going to share with us, her realization that all of us come from the divine energy of creation, that's all everybody is, that has to be at the foundation of what you teach your child. And you can't teach it until you know it. And you can't know it until you erase whatever is making you feel that you are lesser than anyone else. And the reason for this is if you don't erase it, then everything your child does, you're going to look at it from the standpoint of your ego. And you'll be cruel to the child unknowingly because your ego has been injured. What is the ego? The ego is that sense of you being a separate person, different than everyone else, and you constantly want to make sure yourself is protected. both emotionally and physically. So if your ego is the only way you see the world, then everything that happens, you make it be about you. When your child cries, oh, they're annoying you. Why don't they shut up? It's about you, not about how they are crying to tell you that they need something. And there are many, many, many parents who do this all the time. That's why we got erroneous beliefs like, oh, that child is spoiled. You pick them up all the time, you're spoiling them. What would make a person think that when a child cries, they should be taught that you can't keep crying, you need to just suck it up? What kind of twisted belief is that? The very common belief. That's why we have cribs where we stick a child and let them cry themselves to sleep. They're crying saying, comfort me, and we give them no comfort because our ego says they need to learn to be tough. No, they need to learn that we are loving, kind, compassionate, and we care about them. Sticking them in that crib and letting them cry themselves to sleep is an ignorant belief system that has been passed down for generation after generation after generation. And we talk about this in the chapter in which we address what messages we're giving our infant children early on that let us know whether or not they can trust the environment they're in. Are they going to live in security or are they going to live in a state of fear? So much of what we believe is based on false teachings that come from parents who didn't know any better because their parents didn't know any better because their parents didn't know any better because their parents didn't know any better. So if you have inside of you anything that is unhealed from your childhood and your upbringing, it will come out when you parent your child. You will constantly make it be about yourself because your ego is still wounded. And this is a critical thing when your child reaches that age where they're expressing their free will, that age of two where we start calling it the terrible twos. Why do we say it's terrible? We perceive it as terrible because our child is expressing a free will and learning decision making. But if it's about you and your ego, then as soon as that child tells you no, what is your thought? You're not going to defy me. I'm your parent. I'm the boss. Why are you needing to prove yourself to a child? Because somewhere in your life, someone made you feel disrespected, and that has not healed. So you project that onto a child who is merely trying to express their thoughts using the language that you gave them so they can let you know when they desire something or don't desire something. And if you have that unhealed wound of feeling that someone disrespected you, then you're going to want to hit that child, punish that child, berate that child, because they opened up that old wound that you have not been respected. So many parents create pain and suffering for their children because their ego is out of balance, because they're still carrying the wounds of their own childhood. A child does not have the capacity to disrespect you. They're a child. They're learning. They are experiencing life and expressing their thoughts. It's not about you. So you have to look at what's inside of you. So lesson one is going to help you have a thorough self-examination, so that you can go back in your childhood, every single phase, from in the womb, what was your mother's state of being? Was she happy? Was she angry? Was she anxious?
All of these things are going to impact you. And then even after your birth, what was the environment in your home? Was it happy? Was it healthy? Were you welcomed? Or were you resented? What was the birth order? Were you the oldest child, where you were basically the starter child, where your parents figured out how to do this on you and made all the mistakes on you? Were you the second child that might have kind of got a little bit ignored or neglected because, okay, we had the excitement of the first child, you're just kind of the second one? Were you resented by the older child, picked on, bullied, made to feel bad, teased? All of these things are part of what's inside of you, and we examine these things in lesson one, what is inside of you. We also take a look at what is the relationship of the people in the family in which you were raised. Both of your parents impacted you, their presence and their absence, and their own wounds. How did they go about correcting you? Did they use verbal abuse to make you feel bad when they didn't want you to do something? Did they call you names like stupid or hard-headed? Did they slap your hands when you tried to explore something? All of these things are still inside of you. And they must be healed because they are wounds that you will inflict on your child unless you know better. Growing up into adolescence, how was your puberty? How did you address the changes of your body? How did your parents handle your sexuality? Did they shame you? Did they make you feel afraid? Did you feel rejected if you in any kind of way inquired about sex or sexuality? Were you among many, many, many children who maybe do some exploration and trying to go, what is that down there? Or maybe you examining your cousins or friends and got caught looking at each other's genitals or whatever and got punished. And you didn't know why, you just know that there was something shameful about that part of your body that's still inside of you, that misshapen belief about your sexuality, your genitalia, all of these things that affect you today and how you feel about yourself and how you're going to respond to your child. So what wounds are still there? Did you have a parent that had some serious dysfunction, such as an alcoholic or drug abuse parent or an absent parent, a parent that maybe went to jail or a parent that was just traveling all the time and just gone, didn't have time for you, always working? Did you have a parent that didn't have the capacity to show you affection? The only thing they knew how to do was fuss. That's all they had to give you. And did they make you feel loved? Well, no, you always felt like you weren't quite good enough. Well, if that's the kind of parent that you had, that's still inside of you. And that's what you're going to give to your child unless you heal the hurt. So we're going to talk about that in that first lesson, what is inside of you. You have to know that this soul coming through you is a soul coming here for a purpose. They're not here to suffer. They're not here to be made to feel bad. They are here to express the joy of living and to create a world made from love and joy, which means you must parent them in a way that guides their natural talents, skills, interests, and abilities, without giving them pain. Whatever pain you give to your child, that child will give to the world. And so knowing what's inside of you is critical for you being able to give them what they need to become what they came to become. And all of those who are here have been absorbing a very unloving environment that teaches them that they are not safe. So this is something that must be corrected. And the way we teach them starting now. They do, in fact, have this mission. And we who have agreed to be the vessel through which they come or agreed to be the vessel by which they are taught, if we're the foster parents or the step parents or the grandparents, it's still our job. And we must give them the best of ourselves, but we must know what is inside of us. Correcting a child means healing that wounded ego so that whenever a child does something, instead of your first response being, they defied me, they're disobedient, your first response must be, what are they trying to learn? How can I help them learn and keep them safe? If you were raised by parents that reprimanded you every time you did something different or explored something or broke something or threw something, then that's all you know. Because the first erroneous belief is that a child is born bad. That's the thought that comes out of many of our religious traditions. They are incorrect. And our purpose here is not to try to attack anyone's religion. Every soul has its own responsibility to discover the truth for itself. So it doesn't matter what someone taught you. If your soul is ready for you to know better, then you must seek out that knowledge and apply it. Especially if you're taking the responsibility of guiding a soul through this life. The near-death experience we're sharing today is an important foundation because it helps to erase many of those hurtful belief systems that start out teaching that you come here already condemned, already bad, already with a propensity to do wrong, and all of that is incorrect. A child does not come here bad, wrong, condemned, born in sin. None of that is correct, and we cannot correct this world until we correct that wrong thought, because that's the thought that you'll project to the child every time they do something. Now, let's say you've got a little child, they're up in a high chair, can't even walk yet, and you hand them, you know, they're just learning how to drink independently from one of those little sippy cups, and you give them the cup, and they take it and throw it across the room. Now, if you're stuck in the ego mind, how are you going to respond to that? Oh, you bad child, you throwing this cup. You give it to them again, and they throw it across the room. What do you want to do? Slap their hand, spank their bottom, tell them no, because your thinking is wrong. Your thinking is they're doing something bad. But the reality is they're conducting a physics experiment. They're trying to see what happens when they project with their arm an object. How far and fast will it fly? That's the genius mind that's inside of them. But if your belief system is they're being bad, then you'll respond with an attack. This is why we have to change how we think so that we are not causing pain to our children as they're striving to learn, because everything they do is an attempt to learn. That's why they're here. When we change our projection of what they do from they're being bad or they're defying my authority, when we change that projection and accept the fact that they are here learning and exploring to strive to understand, then our response to everything they do will be different. We can then look at what they're doing And we can say, what is it they're trying to learn? And how can I help them? That's what we're preparing parents to do. And this is why we must first go through a thorough self-examination to discover what is inside of us, so that if there's anything that makes us misperceive a child's behavior and respond with anger, we have to correct it. The idea that God is angry at human beings is another erroneous belief, because the creator of the universe is not angry. Anger is a response of a person with a lack of understanding as to the motives of another, not understanding all of the things that went into that person's decision, and then attributing it to their own ego. They disrespected me. I'm going to punish them. The creator of the universe does not have an imbalanced ego. There is no wrath of God. I'm sorry, religious people, there isn't. There's no wrath of God. What there is lacking information of the human family on the purpose of life and why we are here and who we are as part of the existence. And so this is what we will strive to assist all who are taking this course to understand, so that we may all give our best to our children. Our best skills, our best understanding, our best compassion, our best expression of love to those who have trusted us to guide their souls through this earth experience. And that is lesson one. What is inside of you? So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
And before we break, let me take a call real quick. Area code 773-221 Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us today on The Female Solution. Got a minute before we take our break and come right back. Go right ahead.
This is why I have said if anything should be mandated, it should be Dianetics auditing sessions recorded. There's something called the quantum educational system, and what you're talking about should be incorporated into that. I think it should be front and center of this new quantum education system. Spiritual warfare is always going on, and one thing that Allende Jean-Baptiste said when he was 4 years old at Operation Push was that leaders lives, and it's the unwisdom of individuals that is causing many problems. I think I'm a wise man.
I remember that, yes, and he was one of those souls that came here to make a difference. Well, thank you so much for your contribution to the conversation today, Andrew. We appreciate you so much. I'm going to take a quick break, come right back, and share some more. So listen in, and for those who are listening to us today, we're celebrating life and teaching children a new understanding of death as we remember the lifelong friend, Deborah Smith, and on the Facebook page, Zelda Robinson, you can share in that homegoing celebration. And we want to share with you the very powerful course upcoming on parenting, because this is by which we will, in fact, change the world in which we live. We'll be back in just 1 second, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Do you worry about finances, family, health? job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these voices of enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On-air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
And we are back here listening to The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we are celebrating life by preparing you for an exciting new course that is going to change life on planet Earth as we prepare a new generation of children, parenting with peace. And if you are a parent right now, it's not too late. Even if there are things in this course that you discover are different than what you've decided to do in raising your child, we want you to still understand the concepts and perhaps use some of the corrective measures suggested so that your child is not bringing forth pain. He lacks understanding. Well, we're going to share with you a bit about the second lesson, which is preparing for conception. And then we're going to share with you the experience of a near-death experiencer on the YouTube channel, from the YouTube channel Next Level Soul, which helps us to really understand what happens when we so-called die, so that even this may be the foundation of our teaching of our children, so that they have an appreciation of life, they have no fear of death, because they understand that there's only life, and they understand that they are here for a purpose. So let us share with you from Parenting with Peace, Preparing for Conception.
Lesson two is preparing for conception. This is a look at all of the things that must be considered. First and foremost, with whom are you going to bring forth this life? That's a serious decision, and it can't be made at random. We must be conscious creators. Now, for those who are already here, they're already here. But this second lesson is largely for those who are going to be parents in the future. Those who are coming into puberty, those who are in their teen years, those who are young adults, those who are coming into their middle ages and perhaps still have not had children. The process of choosing a life partner with whom you're going to bring forth life is a decision that literally can change the world we live in. How many people have had children by or with someone who was not emotionally ready to be a parent? They were not emotionally fit to even be in a relationship. They did not understand what it meant to have a life partner or to create life. They only understood their physical pleasure of the sexually intimate experience. Again, ego-based decision-making, what I want for me, what I feel. Not conscious that this act is a gateway, a doorway, an entry point for a soul coming to earth for a specific purpose. So this level of awareness is critical for anyone with whom you are intimate, both male and female. And in later lessons, we talk about preparing males and females for that task as they get ready to go through the physical change in adolescence that ushers them into a physical adulthood. But for lesson two, we really want to help those who will be parents to do some serious examination of the other person with whom you are being intimate or considering intimacy. Not only are you looking at their emotional and psychological state, but you're looking at even family dynamics, history, what they're bringing based on their state of mind and their belief systems. So things cannot be done at random or for wrong reasons.
they have an impact far beyond your life. And there are other topics to be considered, such as your physical health, and above all, your emotional health. Again, the environment inside of you is helping to shape the child's well-being. So preparing yourself physically with the right healthy foods, water, sleep, relaxation is critical for the right environment of one coming through you. And if you are a male, it's the same thing. You are preparing your seed. So this is examined in detail in lesson two. Even the act of conception itself, the environment, the atmosphere, the mood, can be planned on purpose for this higher purpose. And when you understand the gravity of the intention behind this act, then you do so with reverence and gratitude for what you're going to be allowed to bring forth into the world.
And that was a glimpse of lesson two. This is a course that we are desiring to make available to those young people before they begin exploring their sexuality, so that it's understood the decisions they're making in the right context. Not shame, guilt, fear, nor haphazard sex without a purpose, and then, oops, I'm pregnant. Because even that has consequences to oneself when a soul has made a decision to come through you and you were not ready to house that soul. There are no accidental pregnancies. Every soul that makes a decision to choose you as a parent for their earth experience, they made a deliberate decision, even if you decide, I was not ready. So understand that a pregnancy is a soul's decision, a selection of you. This is why your decision to open the door for their entry must be deliberate and made with consciousness and awareness. So now we want to share with you from the YouTube channel, Next Level Soul, a woman's near-death experience. There have been many near-death experiences, and all of them point to the realization that the energy of creation we call God is only love. The judgment that you will face is your own as you realize that you are a part of everything. You are an expression of the Creator. This realization must be at the foundation of your teaching your child who they are. They must know that they're connected to all life, an expression of the Creator of life. And as such, they must harm no one and nothing. That has to be at the foundation of their ethical behavior and belief, not fear of punishment, but compassion for life. This is why once you have that as a foundation, you can parent with peace, because you're no longer using fear of pain.
There needs to be no pain. There will be no harmful acts when one understands oneness and knows for certain that every being is a part of who they are, and they're raised with a foundation of compassion. This can no longer be something that is discovered later in life when we finally get to some teachings that make sense to our souls and we realize what we've been taught has been erroneous. We need to come out the gate. We need to start out with the deepest understanding of existence possible so that our children have it inborn within them. And as a result, they are already living lives with a purpose to do no harm to any other living being. They have no desire to harm any other living being. That must be something inside of them in the beginning. And when they know this, then any mistake they made is understood to be just that, a mistake. And it can be corrected with knowledge and compassion and not fear and never pain. This is an important transformation in thought for parents who are looking to try to fit their children into an existing mode of thinking, when what is necessary is that our children coming up in this lifetime be radically different than any other generation raised. Our children must understand oneness, connectedness, being a part of all that is, so that they harm no one and they create no pain and suffer knowingly, and they see themselves as part of everything. Once they know this, then the systems they create will reflect this. The systems they create will reflect this awareness, and this is why they will be the agents of change throughout the world. They will be aware of who they are and why they are here. When we can help our children have this awareness from the early stages of their lives, then these are the children who will influence other lives. And they will be the light that shines our world to transform. So this is why it's necessary for us to be ready to change the thinking of our children so that they can change the thinking of the world. That is why they are here, and when we know this, then we will change the way we raise them. So this is an account by Nancy L. Dannison, Next Level Soul, as she shares her story after a condition caused her to leave her body in a near-death experience and what she discovered in her conversation with God. And let's see if we can bring her in. And most definitely,
for those who are listening in, we want you to consider the importance of this presentation because it is the beginning of changing.
I've been able to partner with Mindvalley to present you guys free master classes between 60 and 90 minutes covering mind, body, soul, relationships, and conscious entrepreneurship, taught by spiritual masters, yogis, spiritual thought leaders, and best-selling authors. Just head over to nextlevelsoul.com/free. I'd like to welcome to the show, Nancy Dennison. How are you doing, Nancy?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm excited to talk about your journey, which is quite remarkable. We've had, as you know, we've had a lot of near-death experiencers on the show, but I'm always looking for unique stories when it comes, as you, like, right,
that would be
it's
me.
So boring. It's like, it's so boring, the near death, you come back, I have to find something unique. No, but like, you know, a lot of the stories that we hear in the near death experience, you know, world, you know, there's similarities, obviously, there, because it's, everyone's going through kind of the same process, but each one has their own unique story, and yours is fairly unique, and we're going to talk about your book as well, and then where people can find your books and find out more about your stories. But my first question to you is, what was your life like before you had a near-death experience?
Hectic. I was practicing law full-time and a 270-attorney regional law firm. I was a partner in the firm. I was building my career. You know, I had a national reputation as a health lawyer. Mm-hmm. And I was stressed to the max.
living the life, right? Everything that they tell you you should have, the money, the career. I'm sure you had a nice house, a nice car, all those things, the external things. You seem to, at least from what you're telling me, had a lot of those things in place. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement. But I was having, as part of my stress came from the fact that most of my clients were healthcare providers, and they more and more often were asking for discounts on fees, which my firm, you know, would have to approve. And so it was like I was always going begging, you know, can this client have a discount for that client? You know, so it was hard giving my heart and soul to my clients knowing what the financial impact was.
Did you feel fulfilled during that time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
I love practicing law. Absolutely love
so
it.
So you were down, you were walking the path, you were like, you know what, this is great. I'm living life the way I want to live it. All is good.
Yes.
And then?
and then my firm, my partners decided to bring a mobile mammography unit to our parking lot. And so all the women in the firm, you know, could sign up for mammograms, so I did. And a few days later, I got a call saying, we want you to come in for magnification studies and to meet your surgeon. I'm going, my surgeon, what do you mean? And so I went in for magnification studies, and I was scheduled for surgery to remove 3 tumors from my right breast.
Oh, wow. You know, I have to ask because my mother, you know, not passed. She's still here with us, but she went through. She went through cancer as well. She had, and she's a cancer survivor. Psychologically, what does that do to your entire world when you get kind of news like that?
Well, back then it wasn't so bad because it turned out that after the pathology took like 10 days because they weren't really sure what to call it, and the classification system had changed. So previously it would have been called carcinoma in situ,
mm-hmm.
but because the classification system changed, they called it atypical nodular ductal hyperplasia. So it wasn't malignant. Mm-hmm. Then in 2011, the other shoe dropped, and I was diagnosed with stage 3 metastatic cancer and the other wrist.
Oh, wow. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. So let's go. So when did you have your near, and tell me about your near-death experience.
I had the first one right before the surgery to take out the 3 lumps in the right breast, the ones that turned out not to be cancer. I you know, a lot of women don't understand that not all cancers form lumps. So you can't always feel, you know, when you've got cancer. Some of them leave calcium deposits behind when the cells die, and the calcium deposits can be picked up on mammogram. It's really, really important to have a mammogram. Well, when there's no lump for the surgeon to feel, a radiologist sticks a large bore needle with a wire inside of it into the breast using, you know, that mammogram machine that
I've heard.
I'm sure you haven't had it, and I hope you never do. But after about 8 squishes and 2 injections of the needle with a wire inside of it, the radiologist and the technician left the room to go get the last set of films developed, and I left too.
you just passed right there?
Huh?
What happened?
As best we can reconstruct, I had anaphylactic shock from the local anesthesia that had been injected into my skin, combined with very, very low blood sugar. And so I very, very, very slowly got out of my body, and then I popped out, and I'm standing in front of it going, I didn't know you could do that. And then I saw blackness. But I wasn't afraid. It's comforting. It's comforting darkness. Mm-hmm. And I saw a pinpoint of light. And I said to myself, oh, I know what this is. I'm supposed to go into the light. Did not have a thought that I died. I just recognized what I was supposed to be doing. So I went into the light, and I spent a lot of time alone in the light, feeling this, you know, wave after wave after wave of bliss and unconditional love and acceptance and joy. And it was like going through me and boomeranging back out and being sent back to where it was coming from. And while I was in the light by myself, I was there for a long time, I started getting downloads, you know, a computer download directly into my mind of everything there was to know or could ever be known on lots of different topics. A lot of them were things I'd always been curious about while I was living Nancy's life. And they were just there. And I was like, bouncing back and forth between all these, what I call knowings. And knowing is different than knowing in human life. Knowings that you receive in the afterlife are complete with every single piece of data that could possibly exist about the topic, along with the sense that you have personally lived it firsthand. So it's got all the feelings and the emotions and the experience and the sensations and everything all in one bundle. And it's all at once. You don't have to learn it. It's just, boom, it's there. Wow. I spent a lot of time doing that.
So similar to The Matrix, like you were literally downloading, they were downloading you.
Yes. And when I saw that movie, I was like, oh, my God, you know. And it's kind of similar because, you know, in comparison to the afterlife, human life does kind of look like that, you know, planet Earth that they showed in The Matrix. I mean, it doesn't really look like that, but it's, you know, the difference is.
It's stark. It's stark, the difference.
Yeah.
Okay, so at this point, have you figured out that you're dead?
Not yet. I was doing, because I was a health lawyer, I did the way a physician would analyze a patient, you know, I started gathering the facts and I did a review of systems, you know, no breathing, no heartbeat, no this, no that. I'm going, but I can still breathe and I can still see. And so then I was like looking and I realized I could see through the back of my head. I could see 360 degrees. I didn't really have a head, but I had 360 vision. And while I was looking through the back of my head, I saw Nancy's body down in the mammography room. And I saw that she was on Earth, but I knew I was in the light. And that's when I started kind of suspecting. And I said to myself, nah, I couldn't have died. I always heard you go through a tunnel, you know, into the light. I'm already in the light. I can go through any tunnel. And then, boom, I'm in a tunnel. And, you know, how near-death experiencers get these glorious tunnels of beautiful colors and lights, and they travel through the universe, and their friends and loved ones are there to welcome them, or they've got angels. I get dirt. I get a dirt floor with stone walls with moss growing on them. And it looked to me like it was a railroad trestle from like maybe the 1920s. Because there was a passage overhead, which I think was the railroad tracks. And it was a very narrow passage, but I got the sense it was wide enough for like a Model T Ford to go through. I could smell the moss. I could smell the dirt. I could feel the humidity on my skin.
Really?
I could hear the insects. I mean, it's absolutely, completely real. But I wasn't fooled by it. And so I said to myself, fooled by it? What do you mean fooled by it? Was I fooled by Earth? And so I did a couple more experiments to see. And proved to myself that just thinking a word manifested that environment. And it's true. I learned, after doing it three times, I got a download of information about manifesting. There were very, very few English words used in my whole experience. Manifesting was one of them. And it was explained to me that we souls inside human bodies manifest what the body experiences as physical reality. It's all thoughts projected into physical matter. After that, I realized I had died. And then that seemed to be kind of like a gateway. I saw five beautiful colored lights that I knew the names of while I was there, but they would all look white to humans because we have a very narrow color range. And as I was looking at these five lights, I'm thinking, oh, this is a typical dancing moment. I'm supposed to go into the light. I get five of them. I'm supposed to pick the right one. And a voice not my own comes into my head and says, it doesn't matter. Just pick one. And the five lights turned into five glowing beings that I recognized as my dearest, deepest, most beloved friends and loved ones from all eternity, none of whom I'd ever known in human life. Or in any incarnated life. But they were my eternal friends, and I was home. It's the first, make me cry, the first time in Nancy's life I ever really felt home. That those were my people. So I spent some time with them, and I had a life review. And unlike the life review that most near-death experiencers describe, when you go farther into the afterlife than 99% of NDE or so, you get a life review that includes not only seeing everything from the life that you just lived, but also you get inside the other people who were in those various events. You get to watch it and feel their emotions, hear their thoughts, and be them participating in the same event, so that you're seeing your perspective and their perspective and somebody else's perspective, and it's all at once. And you get to feel the ripple effect of, you know, like you said something, and here's how it impacted these people, and here's how they changed their lives, and how it impacted other people, you know, way down the stream. And you also get answers to all your questions. And like all the times you ask yourself, well, why did so-and-so do this? Why did I do that? And, you know, what would have happened if that? Well, you get the answers to all those questions. You get to see, you know, why so-and-so did something, because you get inside their heads and you get to hear their thinking. And then you also get to see if you made different choices, how they would have turned out.
Oh, so you do get, like, alternative, you know, timelines, if you will.
No, they're not really alternative timelines. They're just projections of thought about what would have happened, you know, had you done something different. But while all that was going on, I'm saying to myself, been there, done that. So I wasn't really interested in watching that other than to see that every single bit of sensory data that Nancy had ever taken in was all there. Every sky, every sound, every thought, every hope, every dream, everything was all there. But I started getting a download of all these hundreds and hundreds, or maybe even thousands, of other lifetimes I had lived throughout the universe as all kinds of creatures and things. That was a lot more interesting than Nancy's life.
I imagine so. Because I've already lived Nancy's life. I don't remember the other one.
Yeah. As they were downloading, I remembered every single moment of every single one of them. And I was just flabbergasted that I could possibly have ever thought I was Nancy. I mean, it was just ridiculous that I could conceive of that idea that I'm just this little human being. When I have lived these eons and eons of other lifetimes, and I remembered every single moment of every single one. And so I was like sampling them, you know, remembering, oh, you know, it was like trip down memory lane, only it was memory lane was the entire universe. After that, I realized I could get knowings on particular topics, like if I focused my attention and intention to know the answer, I could get specific topics instead of just random, you know, things dropping into my head. So, and I didn't know how long I was going to be there, so I thought, well, I better ask the big questions. So I asked, what is God? What am I? What's the purpose of life? What does God expect of me? Where's heaven? Where's hell? And what's the one true religion? Mm-hmm. I asked the last one because I was reared as a Catholic. And I always been told that was the one true religion, which I knew would actually be true.
As all of them do.
Yes. So I got the answers to all those questions, downloaded, you know, in the form of knowings. After getting all those knowings, I was angry. I'm surprised that you can be angry in the afterlife, but I was angry. I felt betrayed. You know, I felt like everybody knew this but me. I must be stupider and dirt if I didn't know this. Everybody's got to know this, and they wouldn't tell me. My parents wouldn't tell me the truth. My church wouldn't tell me the truth. My school, Catholic school, wouldn't tell me the truth. Why weren't they telling me this stuff? Did they think I was stupid? Did they think I couldn't handle it? You know, I mean, I couldn't imagine why anybody would have taught me this intricate religion when there wasn't a bit of it that was true. And I had just gotten the truth directly from the source, literally the source. And I think kind of to calm me down from that, I was shown like a documentary history of planet Earth and how religions developed and how they got to be the way they were when I died and what they were going to be like in the future. So that I could see it was a good faith attempt by souls that knew there was something more, but they couldn't figure out what it was. So they were like projecting human life and human thoughts and human speculation and what they knew about humans as a species onto God and onto the afterlife, assuming it must be the same. And so that did kind of calm me down.
Well, I mean, you just look at Greek mythology. I mean, that's exactly what the Greeks did. I mean, Zeus, and they had affairs, and they had, you know, kids out of wedlock, and they were doing all sorts. I mean, it was just a complete projection of human frailties in the god world back then. And, you know, and I was raised a Catholic. I still feel very guilty about it.
Oh,
and
I won't hold that against you.
But you know, I did the concept of heaven and hell was very difficult for me to understand, that there was a hell. And I'm like, if my mom wouldn't send me to eternal damnation, even though I might have done the worst things. I mean, you could see serial killers' mothers in the courtroom going, he's really a good boy. Like, I mean, it's so, I couldn't comprehend a God that was so angry and vengeful and egotistical, even in especially in the Old Testament, where like, you must honor me, you must focus on me, I need your attention. Like, the God I think is not that frail. Like,
and when I met him either,
I'd imagine like he'd be like, no, you need to do exactly what I say, and I need you to honor me and then pay tribute to me. Like, this doesn't make sense. At least the Western religions never made sense. I think I got much closer to the Eastern religions, even though they have their weaknesses as well, but they seem to be a little bit
closer to some of them, Buddhism and you know, I think it's Yogananda who said, I love using this quote, he goes, Jesus was crucified on the cross in one day, but his teachings were crucified for the last 2,000 years. Isn't that amazing? Because if you go back to what Jesus was actually trying to say, you know, a lot of times I feel that that Christians don't act like Christ.
Well, during this review of religious history that I saw, I saw that no one person existed that matches the life story of Jesus Christ.
Really? Tell me.
That story is composed of little pieces of Egyptian mythology, little pieces of Chinese mythology, little pieces of Jewish religious beliefs at the time,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of bits and pieces of the lives of a group of wandering, what were considered heretics by the Jews, who believed that the kingdom of God was coming, like, right then. So I saw, you know, how these bits and pieces came together decades after the alleged lifetime of Jesus. And they were pulled together by religious leaders who were trying to bring basically pagans, or, you know, what they would consider to be pagans, into the Christian religion. And so they altered Christianity with a lot of holidays that are turned into holy days that didn't actually exist, you know, but they wanted to keep that celebration time together because it appealed to non-Jews. They needed a figurehead because all religions previously had a man, like God, figurehead. So they created one.
So you said you asked six questions. So what are the answers to those six questions?
What is God? God is an energy source. As nothing whatsoever in common with humans. It's infinitely powerful, all-knowing, unconditionally loving, has a distinct personality, is creative, funny, curious, extremely curious. And out of its curiosity, it created the universe. Mentally, it imagined things that it knew could exist, but it couldn't experience directly because of its own nature. So it imagined this universe like we imagine dreams, and it populated the universe with creatures and things, just like we populate our own dreams with characters and places. And then in order to experience what it was like to be in that universe, you know, to be inside a human, to be inside a tree, to be inside a rock, to be inside a comet, it projected its own consciousness and self-awareness into those various physical matter things as what humans call a soul. And it operates much more sophisticated, but similar to how when we dream, there's always a character in the dream that's us. You know, it's the same character that we play during the day. And we are inside that dream character experiencing the dream the same way we're inside a human body experiencing human life from the inside out. And that's what Source is doing. It's experiencing the universe from inside all the things it has imagined. And so the person that you love as yourself, that you consider to be the real you, the true you, your identity, your personality, that's the soul, not the body. All human animals are basically the same. They have the same character traits. They have the same very limited personality. They're really different than dogs and cats and horses and cows and pigs. We honor them because we're inside them, and we bring honor from ourselves as souls into human life. So all the wonderful good things that you see humans do, and all the good things that you know about yourself, that's all you, that's Source. That's you operating as Source in the physical world. and all the things that you see that are violent and selfish and self-centered and manipulative and evil, that's just typical animal nature. Humans are just animals, and they act the same way. And, like, we don't condemn tigers when they take down, you know, prey in the wild. Humans act the same way. Pagans, you know, what they would consider to be pagan, into the Christian religion. And so they altered Christianity with a lot of holidays that are turned into holy days that didn't actually exist, you know, but they wanted to keep that celebration time together because it appealed to non-Jews. And they needed a figurehead because all religions previously had a man, like God, figurehead. So they created one.
So you said you asked six questions. So what are the answers to those six questions?
What is God? God is an energy source. Has nothing whatsoever in common with humans. It's infinite, infinitely powerful, all-knowing, unconditionally loving, has a distinct personality, is creative, funny, curious, extremely curious. And out of its curiosity, it created the universe. Mentally, it imagined things that it knew could exist, but it couldn't experience directly because of its own nature. So to imagine this universe like we imagine dreams, and it populated the universe with creatures and things, just like we populate our own dreams with characters and places. And then in order to experience what it was like to be in that universe, you know, to be inside a human, to be inside a tree, to be inside a rock, to be inside a comet, it projected its own consciousness and self-awareness into those various physical matter things as what humans call soul. And it operates much more sophisticated, but similar to how when we dream, there's always a character in the dream that's us. You know, it's the same character that we play during the day. And we are inside that dream character experiencing the dream the same way we're inside a human body experiencing human life from the inside out. And that's what it's doing. It's experiencing the universe from inside all the things it has imagined. And so the person that you love as yourself, that you consider to be the real you, the true you, your identity, your personality, that's the soul, not the body. All human animals are basically the same. They have the same character traits. They have the same very limited personality. They're really no different than dogs and cats and horses and cows and pigs. We honor them because we're inside them, and we bring honor from ourselves as souls into human life. So all the wonderful good things that you see humans do and all the good things that you know about yourself, that's all you. That's source. That's you operating as source in the physical world. And all the things that you see that are violent and selfish and self-centered and manipulative and evil, that's just typical animal nature. Humans are just animals. And they act the same way. And, like, we don't condemn tigers when they take down, you know, prey in the wild. Humans act the same way, but we condemn them, not realizing we're condemning our own animal host bodies.
So that's one and two.
Who's God and who are we?
Okay, one and two. So what are the rest of the answers? I'm fascinated.
what's the purpose of life? I was told that there were three major purposes and two kind of add-on purposes. The major purposes are what most people, most souls that incarnate want, what their goal is in incarnating, is to gather data about a particular character trait or aspect of physical matter that source can't experience directly. So, and it'll be something that more than one species in the universe experiences. So we don't incarnate just in humans. We incarnate in all over the place. So let's say the thing that you are, you want to study or learn about is greed. You will incarnate into every creature in the universe over and over to experience what greed is like from all perspectives, 360 degrees of perspectives. And you'll do that over and over into various and sundry creatures until you've learned all those things that were in the knowings that downloaded into my mind. That's where they come from. They come from sources, intellectual knowledge combined with the experiential knowledge of souls that have incarnated. And so that's what most souls are doing. They're experiencing some, what I call theme, some character trait, some emotion, some aspect, physical aspect of the universe that source can't experience directly. Second, more, not as prevalent, but more prevalent than the third, is to incarnate with somebody that you love to be their support person. So, you know, if soul A wants to incarnate into human life, and maybe it's the first time they've come into human life, and soul B's been here a lot. So soul B will come with A and incarnate into something or someone that would make sense as a support person, like a mother, a father, brother, sister, rabbi, priest, teacher, coach, you know, something like that. And that soul B's sole purpose for living is to support soul A. And the rest of the time is supposed to be fun. And even when you're studying a theme, when you're not in a situation where your theme is playing out, you're supposed to be having fun. And then the third major purpose is to be a catalyst. Like you will incarnate with someone you love in order to do something in their life that will be a catalyst for them doing something that will help them meet a goal. And so that catalyst, that may be one time. And their whole rest of that human life is supposed to be fun. And then the overriding purpose is, in the afterlife, I learned that we consider Earth to be a very primitive, wild, exotic planet. And humans are primitive, untamed, wild, exciting, you know, off the wall creatures. And so we consider it a challenge to incarnate into humans and to try to control them and to try to keep them from
that. We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution.
On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Cheche. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jeret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakor. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.